The Magic Toy Shop, written by Angela Carter and read by Fiona Shaw.
The summer she was 15, Melanie discovered she was made of flesh and blood. Oh, my America, my newfound land. She embarked on a tranced voyage, exploring the whole of herself, clambering her own mountain ranges, penetrating the moist richness of her secret valleys, her psychological Cortez, Da Gama, or Mungo Park. For hours she stared at herself, naked in the mirror of her wardrobe. She would follow with her finger the elegant structure of her ribcage, where the heart fluttered under the flesh like a bird under a blanket. And she would draw down the long line from breastbone to navel, which was a mysterious cavern or grotto, and she would rasp her palms against her bud-wing shoulder blades. And then she would writhe about, clasping herself, laughing, sometimes doing cartwheels and handstands, out of sheer exhilaration at the supple surprise of herself. Now she was no longer a little girl. She also posed in attitudes, holding things. Pre-Raphaelite, she combed out her long black hair to stream straight down from a centre parting and thoughtfully regarded herself as she held a tiger lily from the garden under her chin, her knees pressed close together. At Toulouse-Lautrec, she dragged her hair sluttishly across her face and sat down in a chair with her legs apart and a bowl of water and a towel at her feet. She always felt particularly wicked when she posed for Lautrec, although she made up fantasies in which she lived in his time. She had been a chorus girl or a model and fed a sparrow with crumbs from her Paris attic window. In these fantasies, she helped him and loved him because she was sorry for him, since he was a dwarf and a genius. She was too thin for a Titian or a Renoir, but she contrived a pale, smug Cranach Venus with a bit of net curtain wound round her head and the necklace of cultured pearls as they gave her when she was confirmed at her throat. After she read Lady Chatterley's Lover, she secretly picked forget-me-nots and stuck them in her pubic hair. Further, she used the net curtain as raw material for a series of nightgowns suitable for her wedding night, which she designed upon herself. She gift-wrapped herself for a phantom bridegroom, taking a shower and cleaning his teeth in an extra-dimensional bathroom of the future in honeymoon Cannes, or Venice, or Miami Beach. She conjured him so intensely to leap the space-time barrier between them that she could almost feel his breath on her cheek and his voice husking, "Darling." In readiness for him, she revealed a long, marbly white leg up to the thigh, forgetting the fantasy in sudden absorption in the mirrored play of muscle as she flexed her leg again and again. Then, pulling the net tight, she examined the swathed shape of her small, hard breasts. Their size disappointed her, but she supposed they would do. All this went on behind a locked door in her pastel, innocent bedroom, with Edward Bear, swollen stomach concealing striped pyjamas, beadily regarding her from the pillow, and Lorna Doone splayed out face down in the dust under the bed. This was what Melanie did the summer she was 15. Besides helping with the washing up and watching her little sister to see she did not kill herself at play in the garden. Mrs. Rundle thought Melanie was studying in her room. She said Melanie ought to get out more into the fresh air and would grow peaked. Melanie said she got plenty of fresh air when she ran errands for Mrs. Rundle, and besides, she studied with her window open. Mrs. Rundle was content when she heard this and said no more. Mrs. Rundle was fat, old, and ugly, and had never, in fact, been married. She adopted the married form by deed poll on her 50th birthday as her present to herself. She thought Mrs. gave a woman a touch of personal dignity as she grew older. Besides, she had always wanted to be married. In old age, memory and imagination merge. Mrs. Rundle's mental demarcations were already beginning to blur. She would sit sometimes in her warm fireside chair at the private time when the children were all in bed, dreamily inventing the habits and behaviour of the husband she had never enjoyed until his very face formed wisperly in the steam from her bedtime cup of tea and she greeted him familiarly.